and starts the new parak, chapter 16. So I'm not going to review everything we did in 13, 14, and 15. I usually at the start of a parak like to do that, but at this point I think we're good. Shimshon has had an interaction with one Plishti woman, and here at the beginning we're going to get an interaction with another Plishti woman. I gave you the outline of the 16th parak on the flip side of the sheet. The story here starts, the opening three psukim, with a journey to Aza. It is an event-filled journey to Aza. We will not finish it today, I think. Followed by the classic Shimshon and Delilah and her attempts to get him to divulge where his strength comes from and what that means we have to get to. But eventually he is captured, and then of course the end of the story culminating in his death. The themes here in these stories will continue the themes that we saw in the first three chapters of his saga, 13, 14, 15. Right, the theme of assimilation and standing apart from the Plishti Knani society around us, and particularly regarding the women Shimshon gets involved with. Yeah, you have on the one hand Hatzlaponi's righteousness and then the three Plishti women who we've encountered one already. Second, the theme of divine aid and God enabling Shimshon to be able to carry out wondrous deeds. And third, the layers of betrayal, which we've already seen in terms of Shimshon and the riddle in Timnata, but the betrayal of Shimshon of his people by looking among the Plishtim, the betrayal of the Judeans who turned Shimshon in, all of this, just repeated cycles of betrayal. Okay, so on that happy note, let's see the story.
We're assuming this is within the 20 years that he...
Right, so going back to what we had said at the end of chapter 15, thank you, we had said there that the chapter ended with the statement that he judged Israel for 20 years, and we didn't understand why that was there, because we have another chapter to go. And we're going to say it again at the end of chapter 16. So why are we, why do we have this line here? And we came up with a couple of explanations. One explanation was that it's because his height was achieved here. This is when he reached his apex, meaning he was able to defeat all these Plishtim with the jawbone of the donkey. Hashem enabled him to do that. And he also called out to God, and God answered him. That's his height. And now we're going down the other side of the mountain, going decidedly south. And that's one possibility. Another possibility is that because of the events that we just read, the Jews made him a shofate, and he went on to judge them for 20 years. And in that case, this story that we're about to read just happened somewhere within the 20 years. Or you could say, no, he had 20 good years, and then everything goes south, everything goes bad at this stage. So the answer is we don't know. We have a lot of nice ideas. Okay? Okay. So, Psukim Aleph to Gimel, sentences 1 to 3, the story of a journey to Aza. Vayelech Shimshon Azata. Shimshon went to Aza. Aza, you know, obviously you know where it is today, but remember the five Plishti cities, right? Ekron, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gat, Aza. Did I just skip one? And that is five. Okay. So Aza is actually the biggest of the five. Aza, and all five of them are significant cities, but Aza is considered to be the biggest of the five, according to that Mikra, which I assume is based on archaeological evidence.
Are they the same cities as today? Like Gaza City and...
So I think roughly, whether they're on the exact same site, I don't know, but they're all in that area because that was the Plishti area. That was their center. Although we know that by this time they've expanded beyond them, nonetheless, those are still the cities by which they're known. So he goes to Aza, which means he is looking for something. Vayarsham Isha Zona. And while he's there, he sees an Isha Zona. Now, we're going to have to come back to what Isha Zona means. This is not the first time we've been down this road. We were down this road with Rachav. We were down this road with with Yiftach's mother. So this is not the first time we've seen this question, but yes, we need to know what's the story with this Isha Zonah. And that will, the explanation of Zonah will explain the meaning of the last two words in the sentence. Does Vayavo Eleha mean that he found his second Plishti consort? Or does Vayavo Eleha mean that she was an innkeeper and he stayed in the house? We don't know yet. La'azatin le'mor. That's an odd beginning of a sentence. All of the commentators universally explain that what's happening here is it was told to the people of Aza, but Shimshon Hena. Shimshon's in town. Vayasobu, and they turned, meaning they surrounded. Vayervu lo kol halayla b'shar ha'ir. Either they turned or they surrounded. You could actually read it either way. But they laid an ambush all night at the gate of the city. Vayischarshu kol halayla, and they plotted all night le'mor, saying, ad or haboker b'haragnuhu. We're going to be done with Shimshon. By morning, he'll be dead. We will have killed him. Vayishkav Shimshon achatzi halayla. Shimshon lies there until midnight. Vayakam b'chatzi halayla. He got up in the middle of the night. Vayachos b'dalsos shar ha'ir b'shtam mezuzos. He grabbed onto the doors of the gate of the city and the two doorposts. Vayisa'im im habriach. And he picked them up along with the bolt, the heavy bolt they would use to bolt this at night. Vayasim al ksefav. And he put it on his shoulders. Vayalem el rosh ha'har asher al pnei Chevron. And he brought them up to the top of the mountain facing Chevron.
The doors, the bolts.
Everything. He can't get out. They locked the door. So what's a guy to do? So he picks it up, puts it on his shoulder. That's what a guy would do, right? The woman would look for the key. Shimshon picks up the thing, puts it on his shoulders. Notice where he puts it. Notice where he puts it, though.
On his shoulder.
No, Chevron. Do you realize how far he went? This is not like around the corner. He went miyam liyam. That's what he did. Sorry?
This one says facing Hebron.
Right, but it means, the one that's by. It has to mean, yeah.
He says he went 49.
I mean, the Da'am Mikra, the truth is, takes your view. The Da'am Mikra takes what Roberta is saying and says it just means a mountain that, that looks towards the east, towards Hebron. But I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it, and I would take the view that it's, the 40-mile, track.
He also climbed a mountain. It's on top of a mountain.
Yes.
On his shoulders.
Well, if you're going to do it right.
What about the mountain? Where's it going?
Right?
The question is, right, what happens to the poor people in the town? Do they have to go there and get it back, or they just build a new one? Like, forget it. leave it where it is.
But it doesn't mention any of those people who were at the gate. No one,
no one got killed.
No, where are those people?
But they didn't hear him?
Yeah, right. They were there the whole night.
They must be running.
They did hear him. Good luck. You go. You do it. You do it.
You go. Sacrifice, right?
Quick, he's uprooting the gate. And
they're all there.
What is this story about? Because this story, I mean, it's a nice story, but it doesn't relate to what came before. And it doesn't relate to what's coming next either, except that, it's another reason why the Plishtim should be annoyed.
It's kind of like what he did the first time. He just kind of goes to stir up trouble. He goes there.
What was he doing?
He knows that they're
going to
kill him.
No. Why did he go to Oz in the first place?
Why did he jump over the fence?
But that's what happened with the first lady. He went there also. Why go there? He goes there to start
there.
I think, and then it's obviously.
Or to spare the Jews. In other words, they're not safe when I'm living among them.
I'll go there.
Right, like we had said from Radak.
Right. I'm going somewhere new now.
It sounds like they all knew he was at this house. It must be a public. Whatever it is, a hotel or a...
The question fundamentally is more than just what was he doing here. The bigger question, does this story have a message? Is this just, here's another story from the life of Shimshon. He lived for 20 years. There were an awful lot of stories. Why'd you pick this one? Is this just sort of mid-season filler? You've reached the point in the season where the arc of the season is too long for the number of, you have too many episodes you have to fill. So here's a story about Shimshon. There's no reason to have to put this in here. Of all 20 years, you had to pick this. So let's ask the question a little stronger about why he went to Aza. One thing is clear. He did not go in order to find this woman. Because the order in the Pasuk is, he went there and he saw her. So that's not what's going on here. So the general read from most commentators is that Shimshon is just there. If this event took place right after chapter 15, then it's like I said, he's trying to spare Yehuda further trouble. I'm going to go live among the Plishtim. And even if the events are separated, it still fits the idea of sparing the Jews from reprisal. But he's not looking for anything in particular. It's just, I can't live among the Jews. Let me go disappear in Aza. Malbim disagrees, though.
But why would he go live among the Plishtim if he knew that he was kind of their archenemy? Why wouldn't he go somewhere random? Like, there's other places where
right.
maybe he's not known as well. Maybe he could fit in and
right.
do
the
something.
Answer may be that this is where he lives. I mean, he lives in this region. He's from Yehuda / Dan.
Right.
This is their
maybe
part of town.
Okay.
And that would be
and
one way to look at it.
He's known and he's an enemy.
And his family is there. This is Toronto. You stay where
you
your family
is. Yeah. Not like the Americans who leave.
Right. The answer really could be he stays in. Yeah. The answer could be he stays in because that's part of his region. Also worth noting, the Canaanim, many of them had been conquered by the Plishtim at this point. So it's not as though he has a lot of other area that he can go to. But he is a local boy. Like this is where he's from. Malbim takes an entirely different view. Malbim says Shimshon is looking for a fight. He goes there looking for trouble with the Plishtim, and that shapes Malbim's explanation of the story, as you're gonna see. But those are your two ways to look at this story. Either Shimshon was not looking for trouble, or Shimshon was looking for trouble. So Shimshon arrives in Aza, this great city, and he sees an Isha Zona. So there are different views among the commentaries, just like, you know, in previous occasions. Abar Benel says, in source number 7, she is exactly what you think she is. Zachar Shahalach Shimshon Azata, it mentioned that Shimshon went to Aza, v'ra Hashem Isha Zona v'yavo eleh, he saw a Zona and he went to her. Ki hayanim shach acharei ta'avaso, because he was drawn after his desire. This is who Shimshon has been since day one. And that's the way Abarbanel reads him in general. When we talked about the question of his involvement with the Plishti women, Abarbanel's read was that this was something he was doing. It may fulfill God's plan, but he's doing it for his own sake. That's the way that Abarbanel reads him. So the read of Abarbanel is also the read of the Gemara in source number 8. We saw this Gemara once before, a little bit. But Rebbe Omer Tchilas Kilkulo Ba'aza Lefichach Laka Ba'aza. Rebbe says Shimshon started to go bad in Aza, and therefore he was struck in Aza. Meaning, when he dies, because that's going to happen in the next, you know, the next part of this chapter. Sorry, he's going to die in Aza. So it happens because his corruption begins in Aza, meaning with this woman. So clearly, it's, you know, that she's a Zona. Right. So Roberta asks the Gemara's question. What are you talking about? First they tell you, Tchilas Kalkula Ba'aza, the beginning of the corruption was in Aza, as we saw here. The Gemara, and it ends in Aza, as it's going to say later in the chapter. The Gemara asks, Vaksiv, Vayerit Shimshon Timnata. But it says Shimshon descended Timnata, right? Which we said did not mean to Timna, but it meant the place, Timnata. But it says Shimshon went there. That was where his problem was. Yeah, but Tchilas Kilkulo Miha Ba'azahaya.
He had a good moment after Timnata, when God listened to him.
Right, so the question is, what does this Gemara mean? The Gemara says the beginning of his corruption was actually here. Why didn't it begin there? So Alina offers one suggestion for why that would be the case, and that's because he had a positive moment after that. Shita Mekuban says, on the Gemara, says that it's because at least there he married her. This is an Isha Zona. There's nothing redeeming about it at all. Because remember, even if you were to make the argument that intermarriage was not prohibited yet, nonetheless, Znut is prohibited. That's biblically prohibited for him to have this one-night stand with her. So it would still be a problem. Okay, so that's one school of thought, is that Zona is what it sounds like, and this was a case of Shimshon's corruption here. Radak says that the Targum, the Aramaic commentary, says Pundakita, which means an innkeeper, and he says, see what I said regarding regarding Rahav. And I brought you the reference in source number 9, where it's actually the context here in Shoftim chapter 11 is Yiftach's mother, right? We're told that Yiftach is the son of a concubine. Radak says it's a concubine, and she's called a zonah there because she lacked a ketubah. And then the next line is the one that matters for us. The Yonatan tirgem pundekita. Yonatan translated as innkeeper. Kemosh tirgem gamkein Rachav hazona pundekita, as he did regarding Rachav. So he says, this case here with Yiftach, it's just like with Rachav, that it's actually an innkeeper. And then he offers another possibility that maybe not. Third view is Ralbag in source number 10, and he says, no, the Rasham Isha Pundakito Balabaita Lalun Sham, she was an innkeeper and he just went to sleep in the inn. That's all it was. So you have three different views about what Shimshon was doing here and what the nature of this woman was. What matters for us in terms of how we read this is if she is a zona, the way Abarbanel says, and the way the Gemara says, then that means it's the second example of Shimshon getting involved with a Plishti woman. As opposed to, if it's an innkeeper, in which case, it was benign.
If it's an innkeeper, why wouldn't the Pasuk just say, Shimshon went there, and he slept at an inn? Why mention the innkeeper in the first place? Whether it was a woman, whether it was a man, whether it was...
Good question. What's the answer? You're right, but what's the answer?
I would think that the answer is that she for sure has a part in the story.
Uh-huh. And what would that be?
No.
You do, though. You already read the next sentence. You already read the next sentence.
That's the word that he was there.
How did they find out Shimshon was in town?
Okay.
She's a
Yimta. It's the Isha Zona who told them. Remember, go back to...
It doesn't say he on Ratlahan.
Correct. It doesn't say who did. It doesn't give us any pronoun. Just that somebody told them. But it fits with the he saw Isha Zona by Avoi Leha, and then Lazatim Lemor, word got out to the people of Aza. It doesn't have to be so, but I think that would explain why she's mentioned in the story. This is how he got found out. The Plishtim are informed, but again, there are two different reads of the story. The general read is they found out because Shimshon was innocent. He just came to Aza not looking for trouble, and they found out because he, ended up being seen. And maybe he's found out through the innkeeper. Malbim, though, says no. Malbim says he is found out because he wants to be found out. Take a look at source number 11. Shetzivah sheyomru la'azatim shabah Shimshon heina. Shimshon instructed the people in the inn, go spread the word, Shimshon's in town. Hu atzmo hotzi kol sheshimshon hu be'ir. He spread the word that he's there. Raklo higid shehu hu Shimshon be'atzmo. But he didn't tell the people in the inn, by the way, that's me.
They didn't have to
watch it. The biceps didn't give it away. The Shimshon is playing a game, according to Malbim. He says, I want trouble. And think about it. It makes sense. Because if you really want to lay low, that's the lesson that the spies learned, right, in Yericho. They went to the inn because she would know everything and they could find out information. But that's also where you get caught. Shimshon wants to get caught. Shimshon is looking for trouble.
He just defeated one battle.
Only if it's really right after that one. We don't know.
Or it was right after, but he needs to fulfill that urge again. It's been so long that he's...
Who knows? Who knows? That's the problem with mind reading. We don't have enough information to give a definitive answer.
can't
right. So they plot against Shimshon all night, but they're waiting until morning. Standard view in the commentaries is because they want to be able to see. Right? They figure he's locked in. We don't have to go after him. We'll wait for him to come to us, essentially. So Shimshon uproots the gate, and he brings it all the way to Hebron. How did Shimshon know he was under attack? Why did he get up at midnight?
Well, if he said the word, then he knows.
So if I take the general read, right? If I take the general read of the story, which is like Mitzudat David does here, Shimshon got up at midnight, just in general. Right? Especially if she is a zonah, the way we think of it. At that point, he says, all right, I'm going home. He gets up at midnight, and he gets to the gate, and the gate's locked, and he says, I'm under attack. This is, right, so Yericho locked the gate at night, but remember that they emphasized that it was locked because they were afraid of assault. They're afraid of attack.
The
Pleshtim have nothing to be afraid of. They live in open cities. So according to the general read of the story, is that Shimshon gets up at midnight for no particular reason, wants to get out of the city, finds the gates locked, realizes that there's something going on, and he says, "Okay, I better get out." But Malvim says no. Shimshon knew because he set it up.
He had that much strength. Why didn't he just break open the door?
He wanted because this is a way cooler way to do this.
Yeah. Okay, come on. Then we have to carry it 400 miles or whatever, 4 miles.
40 miles.
That's being a superhero too, taking it open.
His adrenaline was flowing.
And to me, that's part of where we started this discussion. What's the point of this story? Why is this story here? Now that we've learned the story, and we have these two different ways to take the story, right? Either that Shimshon wandered into this town looking perhaps to spare the Jews by living among the Plishtim, and they set up an ambush, and he managed to defeat it. Or Shimshon came into the city, told them I'm here, waited for them to assemble, and then attacked them. What's the story doing here?
It almost seems a bit contrasting to saying I'm an Eved Hashem, because on that one you're basically attributing all of your success and glory to God, versus this seems very self-conflating, look at me, look what I can do.
Or look what God can do, if he's giving credit to God for it. He did in the previous story. Right here he doesn't speak. In the previous story, when he spoke, he said, God gave me this salvation.
But he has foreshadowing his downfall, eventually. That's going to be coming to him.
Right. Could be foreshadowing the downfall in the sense that
the way he got killed, he's lifting up a gate. I mean, I don't know exactly.
Right. Okay. I think that there are I think there are three possible approaches here, at least that I can see. One possibility is that it's another account of his strength against the Plishtim and his potentially inappropriate involvement. If I take Zonah in that way, as the Gemara does, it's meant to show us this is who he is and this is who he remains. Despite being a show faith, this is who he is. A second explanation is similar, and that is that it's meant to show us Shimshon picking fights with the Plishtim. Like Malbim says, Shimshon is still picking fights with the Plishtim. God's will is still being carried out, right? God wanted Shimshon picking fights with the Plishtim, and that's still happening. But I think maybe that what it's actually here for most is what's coming next. What's the next story? We know it's Shimshon and Delilah. What's that story before we read it?
He's tricked.
How is he tricked?
Delilah tricks him.
How does she trick him? What does she do?
She finds that his strength.
How does she find that his strength? You're right. How does she find out his strength? She wants him to tell her the source of his strength. Right? And he gives her one false answer and another false answer and another false answer before finally telling her the real story. And even after he has told her the real story, he thinks, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to fight them off the same way I fight them off every time. Everything's going to work out for me. And I think what we're seeing here in this story, particularly if you read it the way Malvin reads it, that he's picking a fight, is the basis for his confidence. Why is Shimshon so sure that everything is going to be okay? And the answer is, because I'm Shimshon, everything's always okay. you know, I went to the town, they surrounded the city, so I picked up the gate. You know, like that's who he is. Yeah. I think maybe that's.
Never hear about the hair funeral.
That's it. Right. There hasn't been.
We don't know.
There has not been discussion of the hair until now, and that's going to be a key point when we see it surface in the story. Is it really about the hair at all?
Right.
What is the role of the hair in this story? So that's what we're going to have to see when we get to the next paragraph, which I guess will be, God willing, next week. Where you want to make an announcement? Okay.